Do you like books? I mean, really, really like books? Then you're in the right place. Each week, your host, Sam Hankin, interviews the best of today's top-selling authors and the up-and-coming superstars of modern literature. This is The Avid Reader. Here is your host, Sam Hankin.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Avid Reader. Our guest today is Gina Showalter, author of her new novel, Everlife, published in February by Harlequin Teen. Everlife completes her trilogy, which commenced with First Life and then Lifeblood, and then this last one, Everlife. Gina is a New York Times and USA Today best-selling author of Lords of the Underworld, Underworld Assassins, and Angels of the Dark, all series and all unputdownable. She also authored The White Rabbit Chronicles and the original Heartbreaker series. And I could go on, but we only have so much time. She's been a National Reader's Choice awardee, and her romance novels have appeared in Cosmopolitan and 17. The Everlife trilogy, which is close to 1,500 pages, and which I read in 2 days, is a story of life after life. That is, we live our eponymous first life, during which we make a choice between two warring factions that exist in the place we go to after we die in our first life. Very mythical. The two competing teams, if you will, are Troika and Myriad. In essence, Troika is light and Myriad is shadow. Each has its benefits, seemingly, and our two protagonists, Tenley Lockwood, and Killian Flynn, although there are scores of other well-drawn characters, the two of them fight, they compete, they like, and maybe love each other. The plot is riveting, and the pace is breathtaking. It's a series you can't put down, and the conclusion is satisfying and revelatory. So if you like fantasy, science fiction, romance, adventure, violence, you'll love this series. And with that, welcome, Gina, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before I go on with my tangential and run-on questions, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the series and maybe how it plugs into, or maybe not, your other work?
Well, the series itself was born from the idea of kingdom versus kingdom, spirit versus spirit, how we have a body, but we also have a spirit, and that what happens when you die. And so I really loved the idea of the struggle of good against evil, and what if the evil is cloaked in good? How do you know what's right, what's wrong? And I just really wanted to play with those themes, and I had a lot of fun with it.
Did your faith in God influence your writing in this series? It almost seems like an allegory of Christianity, kind of harkening back to Milton or C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely it did. In fact, the inspiration itself was born from a scripture about kingdom versus kingdom and light versus dark.
That's fascinating. How do you weave, and it's difficult to do, how do you weave romance and fantasy together so well?
I love romance. That's always been what I was drawn to in fiction, was the romance. I cared about the relationships more than anything else in the books that I read. I wanted to know why these two loved each other, what brought them together, what made them special for each other, why this one and not somebody else. And so I'm fascinated by relationships, and so whatever book I'm working on, there will be some kind of romance. And as for the fantasy, you know, it all just, it's hard to say. They're just all, when the idea is there and I'm writing the book and the characters are coming to life and the world is coming to life, it's all just one dot is leading to the next dot, and this, it's just weaving this picture and this tapestry until it's all there and together and cohesive.
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, it's not just, this really isn't just a specific genre, because it's like science fiction, it's like fantasy, it's like romance, it's like adventure. It's like a mystery, and it just seems so, it must be so difficult to do that, but it's just kind of flowed from your pen perfectly.
Yeah, because when I go into it, I don't go in thinking, okay, this is going to be this type of book. It's going to be strictly sci-fi. I just let the idea take me wherever it needs to go and really try not to put any limits on where that is.
You know, 10 is clearly the heroine of this book. Do you find it difficult, or are your other series equally as uplifting and empowering for females and generally teen girls?
I hope so. I think women are amazing, and my mother is a very strong woman. I grew up with that influence of her and my aunts and my sisters. And when I was reading as a teen, I did not like how so many female relationships were portrayed as catty. They couldn't be friends because one was always tearing the other down. And then I read a book by PC Cast. And it was one of the first times that I had ever read this very empowering female relationship between two best friends. They, not one time in the book did they ever do something to cause the other harm. It was always what they did and said was from a place of love. And so I absolutely adored that. And so I guess I just kind of made this little mental note in my mind that, you know what, I'm going to do that too. I want to build these beautiful female relationships. And of course, you know, not all of my female characters are heroes and wonderful and always do wonderful things. They all have flaws. But through it all, they learn from their mistakes and they grow. And I try to make them as real as possible.
There's a lot of fantasy series now for young adults, like Maze Runner or Divergent. How hard is it to write for young adults without being condescending and at the same time not overwhelming them with topics and language that they're not ready for or above their heads?
Well, I do. I have two. Well, they're not teens anymore. They're in their early 20s. But, you know, when I was writing these books, the first of them, that my son and daughter were teenagers themselves, and so I was just kind of immersed in their teenage world and their struggles and speech patterns and all of those things. And so I think because I was living in it, it was very easy to translate it to the page.
What gave you the idea, and you kind of touched on this earlier, what gave you the idea of a first king and two sons that literally and figuratively sunder a bridge between themselves and their two kingdoms? Because, again, it does seem mythological.
Right, yes. It's like you said, it harkens back to Christianity where you have God and he has his son and then he had the angel who betrayed him. And so I kind of pulled a little from that, in that you have these two very powerful men. One is good and one is evil. And greed has led him, was the beginning and end of his fall.
You know, at first I thought it was strange how anyone could choose Mariette. And then I realized, wait a minute, that's the way the regular world works. You know, and then it was like a shock, and I recognized, you know, that happens all the time. Every day we meet people who have chosen it, especially if you look at...
Yeah, you know, some things are just seductive. That's just there's no other way to put it. And some things are fun, and even though they're destructive and things like that. So I got to play with those themes about... You know, what does seduce us and lead us down a dark path?
Yeah, and you paint that very well when Ten and Killian walk the streets of Mariette and they see the all the drinking and drugs and goings on. And there is a part of that that's seductive, but it's also destructive.
Yes.
How did you determine that each human... the premise of the book, how did you determine and how did it come about that each human in the harvest land of Earth would get to make a choice before the age of 18 that would irrevocably change the course of their life and their second life?
Well, I didn't like the idea of young kids being hurt for a decision that they made. I mean, I wanted I didn't want them to be responsible, really, until they had reached this point of adulthood with kind of like a mirror of real life where you're not considered an adult until you reach 18, that kind of thing. I wanted them to have time to live some of their life and to make friends and see what was right for them and what was best for them and kind of forge their own path away from their families if necessary.
I like the idea of, you know, it's interesting that you have most people pick one or the other, but I like the idea of this third group of people that just say, no, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to make a choice like that. And
yes.
There's very few, actually, in real life, there's very few people like that. You only meet a few of them in your life, I think.
Yeah, I liked the, I knew that there, in real life, that there would be people who would not want to choose one of the realms. And so I had to have a third option for them if that was the case.
Yeah, not without spoiling anything, at the very beginning in the first book, you're not really, you know, you're kind of, the reader is kind of thinking, well, there's good points to each, you know, in the first
yes.
book.
And really there are, you know, there are really good people in both of the realms. People that I just absolutely loved writing about who had really good, pure hearts. And then you have really terrible people in both realms as well. So it is a mix of both in each, which I think is very true.
Yeah. And speaking of, and then there's some people in one realm that realize their decision was, and all, yeah, it was really neat the way you set up a judicial system that was very much like a real United States judicial system for people who chose to switch from one realm to the other.
Yes, yes. It's always, when I'm writing a book, one of the things that drives me is what's the absolute worst that I could do to this character that would just make,
oh, it's horrible.
That would just ruin everything or make it the situation 1,000 times more difficult. And so I didn't want them to just be able to say, oh, hey, I changed my mind, never mind, we're see you later. I wanted them to have to work for it if they decided to switch.
Yeah, there's a really, I mean, as a kind of morality play, there really is throughout the book this idea of there's consequences to every action you take.
Yes. And that, when my editor and I sat down and we were talking about the book when I began, she asked me, you know, what are you trying to say here? What is your main theme? And it always came back to consequences for every decision.
When you started the trilogy in Rough, did you have, I guess, and this is for all your series, and I've looked at the Q&A on your website and all that, which is a really good website. Did you have in your head, like, in Rough, the entire trilogy kind of, like, planned out?
Or, you know, for most of my books and most of my series, I never really sat down and planned from beginning to end, this is what's going to happen. I would have the grain of an idea, and I would sit down, and I would go from there, and things would grow and sprout from there. But with this one, as I began writing it, you know, with the three, actually four worlds, Troika, Myriad, Many Ends, and the Land of the Harvest, I had to have, you know, I had a lot of world building to do, and so I did have to sit down and figure some things out. So I didn't know all of the details, but I had a pretty good idea about what was going to happen in each book.
Did any of your characters do things that you didn't expect them to do? Did they surprise you?
I never expected to kill off a certain character, but I reached a point where I'm like, you know, I think that it's got to happen in order for us to shake things up and send 10 down the right path.
Yeah, it's, we talked a little bit about this before the broadcast, but there's two really big characters in the book. One, of course, is Killian, and the other is Archer.
Yes.
And there's a platonic and a romantic relationship with either of them and Tenley. Who do you like better?
I find I was more drawn to Killian, to be honest. He was that bad boy that I knew it. Like in the first book, I know there were some readers who weren't too fond of him because he really is all about himself and getting ahead and doing what's right for him and screw everybody else. But I knew his history, whereas they didn't yet, and so I knew that he was had been rejected as a child so often, and that he was just what you saw was this armor, and inside he was hurting like so many people, and so my heart just kind of ached for him, and I was excited to give him a happily ever after, whereas Archer had his life better figured out. He had, you know, stronger familial ties as a child, and even as a teenager when he switched, he had strong relationships with others, whereas Killian had always been on his own.
So I know from reading about your other series and stuff, and again, the Q&A on your website, are we done with Killian and Ten? Do you think... Have they come full circle?
I think they have. They have come full circle. I mean, I could, you know, write another book, but it would probably, if I did, it would feature a side character as the main. The side character would become the main character, and Ten and Killian would be secondary, because I like where they are right now, and I, you know, they've kind of earned their happily ever after, and so... I don't want to jeopardize that.
So, to kind of end this up, well, one question I had was, because when I dialed your area code, 405, so you were born and raised in Oklahoma. How come you're still in Oklahoma? What is it that keeps you there?
I love Oklahoma, and so my family is here. I love each and every one of them. They are huge parts of my life, and I like being able to just get in my car and drive over. Mom, make me some spaghetti. I'm hungry. Things like that. I love having my family so near.
Well, to close with, I wanted to really thank you because in creating all these worlds and encouraging young people to read, you're kind of like my heroine, just like J.K. Rowling is. You know, after you read Harry Potter, you may read C.S. Lewis, you may read H.G. Wells, you may read Robert Heinlein or Franz Kafka. And I think because your books are so interesting and accessible, I think it brings young readers to the point where they realize, hey, books are really cool.
I hope so, because I was held back in third grade. I was the slowest reader in the class. I did not understand what I was reading, and it took finding a book that interested me, and it was the Sweet Valley High series. It was because of that relationship between the girls and the boys that kept me reading, and so if my books touch someone's life or make them like reading, that makes me so beyond happy. I don't have words for it.
Well, I hope it works too, because I have an independent bookstore and your books are on my front shelf and in the young adult section. So it works well for both of us, I think.
Wonderful.
So thank you so much, Gina. It was a pleasure talking to you. And if you're ever in the East and if you're ever doing a tour that brings you by Philadelphia, I would love to have you come by the store.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That was Gina Showalter talking to us about her series, the Everlife series, and we were specifically talking about Everlife, which is the third of the trilogy, First Life, Life Blood, and Everlife. I highly recommend this for anybody, but specifically for girls and boys, men and women, in their early teens, mid-teens, or tweens. And I think it's a great way to get involved in literature. And she writes very well. And like I said, they're very accessible once you start. And I really did. I read 1,500 pages in 2 days. And it was a pleasure all the way through. So anyway, I really enjoyed talking to her. So as always, join us every week on The Avid Reader for insightful and engaging discussions with today's most compelling authors. And one of our upcoming guests is Andrew Santella, who's going to discuss what I consider a fascinating new book. It's called Soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination, from Leonardo and Darwin to you and me, and obviously to me, because I get ready for these interviews like I just put it off until the very last second and then try to do the best I can. And hopefully it's a good job so you guys are happy with it. In any event, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to have you here next week for The Avid Reader.